The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's try that again. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. And I need that this morning more than ever because my voice is kind of compromised this morning, but some of you may be grateful for that. We'll see how long it will last. But not sick or anything, just woke up with a gravelly voice that I didn't use for the first 2 or 3 hours, and then it seemed to have gotten worse when I finally started using it. There are lots of announcements today, and I know you can read those that are in the bulletin. I want to just highlight a few. First of all, Judy Rudolph handed me a note this morning in the hall that said it is not too late to adopt an angel for the angel tree. So you can talk with Judy about that, or just go through the normal process of getting a name and attaching that name to a gift. So thank you, all of you who have already participated in that, and others who may as well. Today is the first Sunday of the Christian year. It is the first Sunday of Advent. It's a time of new beginnings, a time of hope, a time when we look ahead and when we look forward not only to the entire year, but specifically to the birth of the Christ child again in our world, in our lives, and most of all in our spirits. So we light the Advent wreath today, and we will have a different family doing that each time. And light the candles one at a time until all of them are glowing in preparation for Christmas. Youth and children are having a Christmas program on December 15th. The details are there in your bulletin. Please participate in that as you can. And the Mary Marketplace coming up this Saturday on December 7th. And there is a lovely organ recital today. It's in your bulletin, the time and all, and if you would like to participate in that, you are invited and welcome. Amy is coming to make an announcement, and as she comes, let me tell you that we will have 2 Christmas Eve services, just as we did last year, and we call that communion, carols, and candlelight, the 3 C's, and it will be a sweet and holy time. And we will look forward to that. There will be 2 services that evening, 1 at 5, 1 at 7, pretty much exactly alike, slight differences, but you are invited to come to one or both and to invite people and to bring people as you are able to do so. Amy?
Just a quick announcement about the Mary Market. We are looking for donations of Christmas items or goodies that we can sell in the boutique or the antique shop. So as you're putting out your Christmas decorations, if there's any that you're not going to use or haven't used, or if some of your family members or neighbors are cleaning out their closets, maybe they can make a donation. We need those.
Sorry.
We need those this week, because next Saturday is Mary Market.
I'll leave it alone. I'll need to use that so it's not working right. Okay. You can use the handheld mic. Wow. Okay. So today we get to come to communion and come to the table. You're not hearing me, are you? Let's use this one. Of all days, my voice flakes out and the microphone flakes out too. All right, let's go with that. Thank you. So we do get to have communion today, and everyone is welcome at the table. And we want to make sure that we pass the attendance registration pads along, and we invite you, if you're brand new to us today, to let us have one way to contact you that would be convenient for you. And This is our ritual of friendship. We're glad that you're here today, and we want to be able to respond to your visit and to welcome you. So there seem to be other announcements. I got Judy's, and I think that may be all that I had. So, with all that said, let our worship now begin, and it's going to begin with the Stark family lighting our lovely Advent wreath, and we'll light the first candle.
And we light the candle of hope, and we pray, gracious God, we seek you everywhere with expectant eyes that invite us to see hope in the world today. Amen.
While you're standing, let us join in our affirming of our faith. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Jesus Christ, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
As you take your seats, it is time for us to worship God with our gifts, with our tithes and offerings. And so as the ushers come, let us pray a prayer of dedication over these gifts. God, we ask your blessings upon the gifts and the givers. May you take all that we offer and make it good. And may it be used to further your kingdom in this time and place. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'd like to share with you the joys and concerns and for our praying that I know about, and you've had a chance to turn in others there through the yellow cards. But wanted to mention Geneva Teal and James, and also Tom, who is having chemotherapy. In addition to the names that are on our list, the recent concerns include Brenda Arnold and, of course, Betty and Jean Castleberry. Brenda Hanna, Joel Cavanley is doing well, and Billie Jean Sears. A number of others listed on our continuing list and our homebound list in several different places. So please pay attention to those and let us all lift our brothers and sisters in our prayers. And be assured that God hears us all when we pray, even together. So let's begin with a moment of silence, and then I will offer our prayers. Let us pray. Oh God, as we gather in this place, we lift our hearts and our hopes and our hurts to you. We know that you're no stranger to suffering, and that we really have no idea what suffering is compared to you. You, oh God, who bear the burdens of the entire world and the suffering of all those people whom you love and care for. And God, we ask your grace that we too might remember them and lift them in our prayers and in our praying. God, as we come to this table this morning, we give thanks to you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the birth that we celebrate, for we know, oh God, what that birth led to, the suffering and the dying and then the glorious resurrection. God, as we come into these moments of worship, we are so looking forward to welcoming the Christ child again in the cradle, the manger. And yet we know that he is already beside us. Oh God, we lift these whom we have named, and we know that you love them and that Jesus loves them. And we ask for your healing and your hope. God, you are great, and we have no choice. We have no other option but to trust you, to worship you, to lift up holy hands to you, and to thank you for your grace. God, as we come this morning, we hold hands with ones we love across the table, across the aisle, across the road. Help us all to find the ways that we need to find to get along, whether it's students in a classroom or politicians at a table, whether it's musicians at a concert or church members in an administrative board meeting. Oh God, we want to be your people. We all have our ways of expressing that, and yet we seek your fellowship, and we seek to stand or sit side by side with one another, holding hands and trusting in yours, the hand that we hold and that we know holds us. Now, Lord, you hear the hurts and the hopes of our hearts, and we leave those in your presence and at your feet. For we trust you and we love you and we thank you for loving us in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, which can be found on page 594 of the Old Testament. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Maggie. I'd also like to refer to Romans 13, 11 through 14. And I'd like to read that for you now. And let us listen to these words also for the word of the Lord. As you do all this, you know what time it is. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. The night is almost over and the day is near. So let us behave appropriately as people who live in the day, not in partying and getting drunk, not in sleeping around or obscene behavior, not in fighting or obsession. Instead, dress yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't plan to indulge selfish desires. This is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. We all make better decisions in the light. A true story tells how two sons of a 90-year-old Fort Worth, Texas woman were very worried about her safety. "We're going to get you a pistol, mother," they said, "so that you can take care of yourself. There's too much violence out there." So they bought their mother a gun, which she dutifully packed in her purse. And one day, being from Fort Worth, she went shopping at Ridgemar Mall. And when she left there a little after dark to get back in her car, she found two young men sitting in the front seat. She took the pistol out of her purse and pointed at them and said, "Get out of that car or I'll shoot." They jumped out and ran off. Then she got in the car, put her key in the ignition, and it did not fit. It was then that she realized that was not her car. She said she would have apologized to those nice young men, but she was never able to find them. The one thing that makes that story tellable is the fortunate circumstance that no one got hurt, but it could have been tragic. And what a profound and powerful illustration of how we all go into situations armed with our own ideas, our own presumptions, and stereotypes that may even blind us to reality, to things that should be obvious. We always think we are right, right? It seemed obvious to that 92-year-old woman that the two young men were up to no good, but that assumption turned out to be flat wrong. The real issue was that it was dusky dark right there in the parking lot. A little more calmness and a lot more light would have helped her vision and her accuracy. It's a good thing she didn't shoot. We all make better decisions and have calmer moments in better light, don't we? When we're at our best, we call upon Jesus, the light of the world. And we light candles on the Advent wreath. We await his appearance and we celebrate Advent as a coming of the light. It was Jerry Delaney, one of your former pastors, and the pastor who married Kathy and me in December 1983, who often said, "A light is given not to look at, but to see by." Whoa. A light is given not to stare at, but to illuminate what's around it, that we may see things more clearly, that we may be able to act more wisely because we know what's around us. We take time to look, maybe check the license plate or something to make sure we're in the right vehicle. Light is a verb, and it means to illumine something, to illuminate. Like many words, light can be a noun, too. We might say turn on the light or turn off the light. That makes it a noun. But it's really better as a verb, as in the phrase to light the pathway. Both noun and verb are vitally important. We worship Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. That's the noun form. But our real task is to put that in verb form and light the world around us, to reflect his light into the world in order to transform the world. We don't stare into the spotlight, but rather, like on a stage, our eyes are drawn to what the light is shining upon. What is being illuminated. And for us as Christian people, that is the needs of the world around us. The needs, the brokenness, the hurt. The need for light in dark places. The need for light words when darkness rules. The need for healing when brokenness is the way of the moment or the way of a life. A little better light can sure make a difference in what you see. When there's not enough light, we seem to focus upon the shadows. And the angles of those shadows can appear to be frightful. But when the light is just right, we can see what was intended, not what is projected. And sometimes we can see only in part. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now we see through a glass, darkly. But then we shall see face to face when we are with God." We have headlights in our cars, but we can only see so far ahead of our own bumper. And when we travel at night, that illuminated range, the beam of our headlights, moves along and stays ahead of us. But if we were to look directly into those lights, we'd be blinded for a few seconds. It's better, rather than gazing at the light, it's better to look upon that which is illumined by the light, that upon which the light shines. It's then that the light does its work. We need to focus on Christ and worship him and to call him the light of the world. But Jesus said it two ways. He said, "I am the light of the world," in the Gospel of John. But in Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus very clearly said something different. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world." Was he wrong one of those times? No, it's all true. Jesus is the light of the world, and we are called to reflect that light and to bear that light. What do you believe Jesus came to illumine? Do you think Jesus came to be the object of our attention, of our worship and praise? Or did Jesus aim to bring healing and hope, to illumine the hurt and the suffering in our world and to show its need so that his followers, and that's you and me, that we might be shown how to relieve some of that hurt? "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. "In me there is no darkness." You and I, we have to learn to expect the unexpected. Hopefully, the lady who couldn't see well enough to find her own car got better or took someone with her to help her the next time. And we can do one or the other as well. We can do better, or we can trust the Creator for what is out there in the distance beyond the edge of our vision. To see further ahead, we have to move ahead, and we need to make sure that we do that with the Lord as our guide to show the way. I think that is one good reason that God's first element of creation is light. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was. God is known as light, and Jesus is known as the light of the world. Let us come into his presence, even at this table, and find our way forward. It sounds nice, doesn't it? But what is the "so that" about that? We should find our way forward. We should come into his presence and find our way forward so that what? Well, for the church, for you and me, I think that "so what" is so that we can point the way forward for other people. Point the way to God's grace. We should do that for those whom we live with, those whom we love, and those whom we have not yet met. Let us come to the table today to find the light so that we may shine its beam and point the way for another. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the light of the world. Please let us experience your light and come into the glow of it so that we may be able to reflect it and pass it on to the darkness around us in the world in which we live. Amen.
I invite you to page 12 in our hymnals. So the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God Almighty, Holy One, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God. Of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, you anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce to them that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick and fed the hungry and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering and dying and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us as always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. And he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body which is given for you." And after they had supper, Jesus took the cup. And lifting it as well, he gave thanks again, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so now, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his precious blood. By your Spirit now make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father.
mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now as we share our hymn of invitation, I invite you to stand and let us sing together the words and music of I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, number 206. 206. And if today is a day for you to trust Christ in a new way, or to come to Christ for the very first time, or to take a step toward membership in this congregation of disciples, all of these doors are open to you. Let's talk. If today's the day, great. If not, let's talk. But our doors are open, and we welcome all. And so, if you are looking for a church home, we would be proud to share this one with you and to worship and work together as people of faith. If you seek to come joining today or proclaiming your faith, you may come during the singing of this hymn of invitation. Gene? No matter how we may feel, Christ is alive in us and goes with us out into the world. And as Tucker and Britt carry out the light of Christ, we can be sure that we are not alone, that light leads us and is always with us. So, I say, now let us go from this place. Let us grow in God's grace. And let us glow with Christ's face, the face of the risen Lord. Amen.